You're listening to Real Presence Live. Now, back to more inspirational and uplifting stories and a look at the extraordinary things happening in our local area. Heard right here on the RPR Network.
Welcome back, everyone, to Real Presence Live. My name is Tim Moser, your host today from the Fargo Studios with Aaron Producing. And a nice Under Armour tee there. I like that. That's nice. That's a little nice polo. Looks good on you there, Aaron. I like it. Yeah. Got the thumbs up from Aaron. That's awesome. Hope you're with us for the last half hour. We had Patrick McGuire on, music director from Saints Anna Joachim in Fargo, talking about music and the different liturgical seasons. And it was wonderful. So get the podcast if you missed it. Speaking of wonderful, we have an amazing psychologist here on the line, Dr. James Link. Dr. Link, welcome to the program.
Yes, my pleasure to be here. Good morning.
Appreciate it. Dr. Link, for those of you that don't know, he's a Catholic psychologist, a Diocese of Bismarck, but he also helps out with initial stages of the permanent diaconate formation. And we were just talking off the air, Dr. Link, that, gosh, I suppose around 4 years ago, 4 to 5 years ago, when I was first starting along this discernment to the possibly being ordained a permanent deacon, we had an inventory with you, and we'll get to that in a little bit, but I just remember, gosh, that's, a few years ago now. Time really flies. But before we get to that, let's have you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, your family, and your profession.
Sure. So, yeah, I'm a clinical psychologist here in Bismarck, and I've been doing this for about 16 years. I have had a private practice for most of that time, working with individuals, doing evaluations, just in the past couple of years, I've begun teaching also out here at the University of Mary in the Psychology and Catholic Studies program, in addition to my private practice. And as part of that, I do a lot of evaluations for the church, different dioceses, for seminarians, candidates for religious life, permanent diaconate. So that's kind of a big part of what I do. I was in the seminary years ago for the Bismarck Diocese and went on to get my graduate work in psychology and theology, and so that all kind of led to where I'm at today. Also married and have 7 kids. So, that's just a brief synopsis of what I do.
So in other words, you're not very busy, I guess, is what you're saying.
No, not at all, which is why I had a lot of time to talk to you this morning.
Exactly. We appreciate that, Doc. We appreciate it. Thanks so much. Well, that's wonderful. So one of the things that we want to get to, I just alluded to it before. I remember, like I said, several years ago, when we were first discerning for the diaconate, my wife and I, and of course all the candidates or aspirants at that point, I guess, get together, and you kind of put us through an inventory and talk with us and interview us. Why don't you kind of take us through their process and why it's so important?
Right. Well, I think the church, in her wisdom, understands the importance of making sure that, as St. Thomas talked about, grace perfects nature. Mm-hmm. And so when we feel like we're being called to a particular position of leadership in the church, whether as a priest, as a deacon, the church wants to make sure that at the level of nature, at a human level, they're well formed, that there's not particular wounds that would impact one's ability to exercise that ministry, that vocation. And so that's where the psychological evaluation comes in terms of trying to assess that. And a big part of that, I think, is the interview, where we interview. We talk a lot about a person's family of origin, about many different characteristics that would be important in a vocation. And the church uses this term, affective maturity. And we can kind of break that down in more detail if we want, but the church is really looking for their candidates to be effectively mature in kind of how they deal with life and how they deal with their emotions and all of that. So a big part of the process is the interview, but then there's different kind of psychological tests and inventories that most of, seminaries or dioceses that the church require, just to make sure that the candidate's pretty stable psychologically, emotionally, and different things like that.
We're talking with Dr. James Link here about discernment. I do kind of have a question, that affective discernment, I think you said. So is that with an A, that affective, like the emotional kind of part, not the E, will you be effective, right? Maybe actually just break that down just a little bit for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So yes, it's affective with an A. And so the components that the church would say we want in our candidates would be, are they flexible? Do they have a certain kind of emotional, cognitive flexibility kind of an absence of rigidity, right? You don't want somebody going into the diaconate who thinks they're holier than the Pope and holier than the bishop and not open to any type of feedback, right? We want a flexibility. We want candidates who are self-aware, that they're able to be aware of their strengths and their limitations, maybe where they're wounded. You know, what's their communication patterns like? How do they resolve conflict? Sexuality, are they able to live a life of chastity? You know, God forbid if one day their wife passed away, would they be able to embrace a life of celibacy? Psychologically, emotionally, you know, have they struggled with significant depression, anxiety? How do they manage anger? Do they have any addictions? You know, how do they handle feedback? Are they able to be obedient? So, you know, those are all things that the church is saying we want to make sure that the candidate has kind of an order before they would move toward ordination. And so you try to kind of look at all of that. I think, you know, it's different for, you know, candidates for the diaconate, because most of the time they're mature men who've lived life for a while, and so some of these things can be already, they're pretty mature. However, if there are these unhealthy patterns, they can be pretty ingrained as well, and so the church really wants to evaluate for that.
You know, that brings up another question, and I appreciate that. That really helped break that open for me. I appreciate that. So, when you mentioned the diaconate, yes, most of us are, you know, older, possibly more in touch, you know, with all these things you talked about. So are you also called on to help discernment of, you know, young men maybe discerning the priesthood, and how is that different?
Yeah, so do a lot of evaluations for the priesthood for, you know, young men. Mm-hmm. And it's different in several ways because, number one, you know, they're just even from a psychological perspective, maybe not as far along in the maturity process, maybe don't have as much life experience, maybe haven't been in a relationship, maybe that level of kind of psychosexual maturity, intimacy, embracing a life of celibacy, you know, all of that is a bit different for them. And so you have to be a little bit more thorough in kind of what you're looking at and kind of assessing that than maybe you would be for somebody who is applying for the diaconate. And I think, you know, the aspect of, for most men going into the diaconate, they probably are married, and so there's that aspect of, you know, having to grow in that relationship that kind of rounds off some of our rough edges as well.
You know, that's another good point that I could get into. And I didn't get married till very late in life. I don't know if you remember this, Dr. Link, but I was 49 when I got married, you know, for the very first time. And boy, I can tell you, in the 12 years I've been married, thanks be to the grace of God and the love of my wife, I have matured in so many ways. Obviously, I still have, you know, ways to go in all areas, but I look back and go, wow, it's just amazing to me how the formation for the permanent diaconate and then just, you know, growing in my prayer life, growing in relation with my wife, and we have a six-year-old son. I mean, all of these things have really come together to just help mold me in ways that I'm so grateful for, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess saying that, right, God has, even in your life, right, God has a way, right, when we do prayerful discernment of just opening the doors and saying, here's where I want you to go, if we're listening, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and I often say it's kind of this unfolding that would take place. You know, like sometimes that. we want signs and big lights and different things, but I think for most people with discernment, it's a gradual unfolding in life where doors are opening up and they seem to kind of resonate with where our heart is being led and what our strengths and gifts and abilities are, and just trusting the Lord in that, right? So
that's so true. You know, when you talk about unfolding, that is such a good word, Doctor, and it brings, I think, exactly the image that we want. Maybe speak a little bit today in general. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking our society, our culture is one of immediate gratification. I want things now. I don't want to wait for unfolding. Maybe talk a little bit about that and how we can really address that, especially in our culture.
Yeah. I see that all the time out here at the University of Mary when I'm working with young students too, you know.
Oh, sure.
Want to get in, get out, get her done, get my degree, move on to the next thing, and not sometimes stopping and being like, where does God want you to go? And that this is a journey. And so I think that is a part of our culture today where we're kind of wanting to move to the next thing and being able to slow down, to listen, and to kind of consult with God about what he wants for our life, and to know that we have to be free in order to take that step and to kind of, I think, sometimes look at our motivations for why am I doing what I'm doing, or, you know, are my motivations ordered, you know, am I free in order to do this? And that does take time, and that takes self-awareness, and that takes a certain kind of quietness that I don't think is always nurtured and cultivated in our society.
Yeah, so true, so important. Brings up another thought to me, because some people think, well, if someone's going to be a priest, they're just running away from marriage, running away from that relationship. But talk a little bit more into that, please, Doctor.
Yeah. Well, you're right, and that's something that the church is always evaluating for, is a level of freedom, right? That we're not running from something, we're running to something, we're running, we're moving more and more toward, you know, God's will for our life. And so, you know, that's something that we do in the psychological evaluation, like what are a person's motivations for wanting to get into the seminary, wanting to be in the permanent diaconate? Like, what are the motivations? Are you free in order to take that step, or are you maybe doing it out of a sense of I feel obligated, like I need to do this? You know, if I really love God, I have to do this. I mean, there's a lot of reasons that might be a bit disordered that we have to work through, but certainly running towards something because I don't feel like I can fit in life, or I can't make it in the world, that would be an unhealthy reason to pursue a vocation for sure.
Yeah, so true. Talking with Dr. James Link. From the Diocese of Bismarck and the University of Mary about discernment. You know, Doc, I was a college volleyball coach for over 30 years. And boy, just a lot of these principles you're talking about, just take one, for example, the running away, the running towards. Mm. Boy, I saw that so much. You know, for instance, you're recruiting someone, and, you know, there's the discernment process there too, right? It's the discernment for me and my staff and my team, right? Is this a good fit? It's discernment for them and their family. Boy, and I can't tell you the number of times when we could tell. We just looked, something's not right here, right? This is someone running away. We got a call. My assistant and I, we got a call, about midnight one night. And there's this parent, a gal we had recruited, had gone somewhere else. She doesn't want to go. She wants to go to your place now. And we kind of thought, okay, calling us at midnight. So long story short, it ended up she did come for 1 year. But it wasn't really a good fit. The things that we kind of thought maybe weren't in place before, I thought, well, maybe we'll give this a chance. It ended up not to be a good fit. And so sometimes that just puts, I'm running away from this situation, but we want people that are running toward us. Wow, this is great. Dr. James Link, this is awesome. I love this conversation. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll continue with Dr. James Link talking about discernment. You're listening to Real Presence Live, and we'll be back right after this.
This is Real Presence Live, where the focus is not on the evil around us, but on conversion and mercy through the good news that is always good. We're local, engaging, and live on the Real Presence Radio Network.
Did you know you can listen to Real Presence Live anytime on any podcast platform? Just search for Real Presence Radio on platforms such as Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and on the Real Presence Radio website. Then subscribe so you don't miss any future shows. If you like what you hear, give us a good rating so other people can find us as well. Real Presence Radio, your family of faith and hope.
Have you ever worried about someone's salvation, especially one who died by suicide? I'm Father Chris Alar. Sometimes the state of their soul seems to cause us fear for their eternal fate. They die in what seems to be a hopeless state of sin and unrepentance. However, Jesus says in 1698 of the Diary of St. Faustina that what looks hopeless to us is in fact not so. He says that many times the soul, illuminated by a ray of his final grace, turns to him in the last moment to receive complete forgiveness of all sin and punishment, although we see no external signs of this. Wow. We can see why Jesus said that divine mercy is mankind's last hope of salvation. Please visit suicideandhope.com so I can personally pray for anyone you've lost and to get our book, After Suicide, There's Hope for Them and You, which helps with any kind of suffering or loss, not just suicide. I promise it will help.
At the University of Mary, we offer an education for the whole of life. Our values-based, flexible, and affordable education will prepare you for success and help you become a leader in your field. Whether you want to start your degree for the first time or continue your education, whether you are a working professional or want to pursue school full-time, join us for an education that will help you make a positive impact in our community. Discover the Mary difference. umary.edu. That's umary.edu.
This is Real Presence Live on the RPR Network, bringing you stories of faith and hope through local hosts and guests from across the Upper Midwest. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everyone, to Real Presence Live. My name is Tim Moser, your host from the Fargo studio. Aaron is producing. Thanks again, Aaron. Appreciate it. And we're talking with Dr. James Link. Dr. James Link is a psychologist. He has worked with the Diocese of Bismarck. He has a private practice. He also teaches at the University of Mary. He's also married with seven children. So as I said before, Doc, lots of free time just to sit on the couch and do nothing, right?
Right.
No, that's wonderful. Well, Dr. Link, we've been talking about, you know, discernment, especially for the diaconate, but let's address just the common listener out there saying, you know, I'm not discerning for the diaconate, but maybe talk about discernment in general and some key points for people to keep in mind.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, fundamentally, it's kind of an Ignatian principle. It's R-I-M, RIM. And RIM stands for Relationship Identity Mission. And what St. Ignatius was saying is that at the end of the day, we have to start from our relationship with God and remembering that we're beloved, that God loves us, that we're in a relationship with God, and that's where our dignity and worth comes from. From that, we develop our identity as a son or daughter of God, and from that, we have a mission, right? And so whether I'm married, whether I'm a priest, I'm a deacon, I'm a psychologist, a farmer, whatever, that's all fine, but that's not the core. The core is our relationship with God, right? But sometimes in our society, when we're discerning, we flip it upside down, and rather than RIM, R-I-M, we go to M-I-R, which is mission, identity, relationship. And so somebody might say, well, if I'm a deacon, then God will really love me. That'll be my identity, and then I'll have a better relationship with God, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where we have to pay attention to, that any vocation in the church is secondary to our baptismal vocation as a son or daughter of God, and a vocation is a way to serve. It's not something about pride. It's not about being a special person. It's about service, right? And so whether we serve through marriage, the priesthood, the diaconate, which are very unique and different, it really is not about the relationship with God. That is fundamentally. And so, you know, when we're discerning, we always have to remember that. Like, what's my purpose in feeling called to this? Is it God freely calling me and respecting my free will? Or do I feel I need to do this in order to please God, to make myself more important, to look good in the eyes of others? All of that, you know, those would be some of those things that we need to purify and to remember that my dignity and worth is just because I have a relationship with God, that I was created out of love. And so I see that often with individuals, like, for instance, who would, have this sense of if I really want to be good and if I really want to be holy, then I need to be a deacon. You know, that I need to do that, even though maybe my wife isn't on board, even though I've got young kids, it's not a good time in my family. But I'm pushing because I feel like I need to do this because there's something within me that feels like I'm lacking. Mm-hmm. And that would be a common thing that sometimes we might see in individuals, where I think for the diaconate, it's a package deal. I mean, you're if you're married, you have kids, you have to take all that into account as part of it. Because I remember most of the formation directors for the diaconate, you know, your marriage is first, that's your primary vocation, right? And mm-hmm. then the diaconate comes secondary to that. And so I think, yeah, it's really important, no matter what we're discerning, to remember, like, God loves me. And out of that love now, I freely choose what I'm going to do with that. But he loves me. And that has to be the basis for the beginning of any discernment. Not like I have to earn his love by choosing this particular path.
So good. We're talking with Dr. James Link about discernment. As you're speaking there, Doc, boy, just a lot of things hitting home with me. Our main formator here in the Diocese of Fargo for the permanent diaconate always says, prayer, prayer, prayer. What does God have to say about that, right? So when you talk about RIM, right, relationship, it says, boy, isn't that true? It's got to be grounded in prayer. Maybe go into that a little bit more. I love the RIM aspect.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's about a relationship, and when you're in a relationship with God, and you, like you said, you're living a life of prayer, you're receiving the sacraments, there's a certain freedom that comes from that, because you know you're loved, and that from that kind of free love, that kind of resting in God, reposing in God, you know that I don't have to do anything. Like I freely choose that because I feel that's where God is leading me. But it's out of love. It's not out of a sense of obligation, pressure, any of that, right? And I think those feeling obligated, feeling pressured are things that would kind of taint our discernment. And it comes back to that relationship and trusting that God's a loving Father who isn't demanding us to do anything, but is offering us ways of serving Him and serving our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's really what the diaconate in particular is about. It's about service, right?
Right.
It's all about service.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
deacon means service. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's so true. Another thing comes to mind, too, this discerning well, especially in some important times in our life. And I don't know if you want to go to this place, but it just makes me think of another Ignatian concept, right? The consolation and desolation, never make an important decision,
yeah.
right? And desolate. But talk a little bit about how important it is, especially in you know, some big life changes that you have to discern.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. When you've got big life changes, I think you have to be in a relatively stable place to make that, because if we're dealing with a lot of grief, if we're dealing with a lot of stress, if we're dealing with a lot of changes, it might not be the most beneficial time to make a big discernment decision, you know, to let the dust settle on things and to make sure that, okay, I'm discerning wisely. I'm not like rushing into something based upon changes that are happening in my life. You know, sometimes we think like, discerning a vocation is maybe a way to fix something, and we don't want to use it in that way. But I do think that as regards to Ignatian discernment, sometimes when we make a decision, we experience a sense of consolation, like the peace. Like I feel like the Lord's peace with me. I feel like this is what I need to do. But it's not uncommon then a week after, a month after, 5 months after, to experience a sense of desolation or doubt that was really the right thing. And I think that's where it's important that we just keep going back to, when I made this decision, though, I made it with the Lord in prayer. We're in a relationship, and the Lord is faithful. And so even though I'm doubting it now, I need to go back to that time when I experienced consolation, because that is important. We're all going to experience doubt. We're all going to experience anxiety and worry about it, but we have to believe that the Lord is faithful and true in that. So, you know, there's differences in there, but I think that's really important to remember that He is faithful, and that if we felt consolation, that's a really good sign.
So true. We're talking with Dr. James Link about discernment. Two thoughts come to mind, Dr. Link. One is, for instance, Mother Teresa, you know, who had this call, right? But I've heard and read that she's experienced spiritual dryness for many, many, many years. But going back to what you said, when the time when God called, the call within a call, right? She said, okay,
yeah.
He called me to this. And the second example I think of is marriage, right? How many people do you hear that say, oh, and just don't feel it anymore, blah, blah, this and that. Well, when you went back and you got married, right? That discernment that, yes, this is what God wants me to do. And 40, 50, 20, whatever many years later, gosh, we've got to go back to that. That is such a rich concept, and it's something we've got to keep in mind. Any other thoughts on that, Doc?
Yeah. No, the that's, you know, what you talked earlier in the interview about in our current world, you know, I think we put way too much stock in feelings. Now, as a psychologist, feelings are important and emotions matter, but I think, you know, we have to be careful not to read into those too much, because they're very fickle and they change based upon week to week, month to month, particularly when we've made a commitment, right, that we don't want those feelings to become so powerful that they move us away from that commitment that we made to marriage or to a relationship or to a vocation. And so, yeah, it's a very important point that you made.
So true. Dr. Link, maybe talk a little bit, you know, as we've experiencing a little more shortage in priests all over the place. And by the way, we're blessed with great priests and bishops in our listening area. Thank you for all great priests and bishops. But the importance maybe of the permanent diaconate and having deacons and the beauty of having them in the church.
Yeah. No, it is. It's fantastic. It's the fullness of holy orders, right? I mean, that's the church, the beauty of the church in terms of these different vocations. And I see it as well in you know, sort of the parishes, and I'm part of the formation team here in Bismarck in terms of forming deacons and weekends, and I just see what they bring to the table in terms of their life experiences at times, being able to do that, what they've gone through. I think being married oftentimes, having kids, being able to minister to people who are in troubled marriages. I mean, priests bring a whole wealth of information and insight and knowledge. I think deacons do as well in terms of their ability to say, hey, I get it. I get marriage is difficult. I get raising kids is difficult. I see a priest and a deacon together doing some of that work, it really is like, it's such a great kind of breadth and depth of experience sacramentally, personally, relationally, I think is really beautiful, and it complements each other well, right? The celibate life, but then an ordained clergy who's married and has children or whatever. That's just a really beautiful aspect of the fullness of the church's ministry that I think is really on display. And then just their commitment to service in a really humble way is such a beautiful witness to us all. So
that's so true, Dr. James Link. You know, another thing I'm thinking about too is that deacon, right, as you kind of alluded to, has kind of one foot in each, right? He's married, yeah. So he's like a lay, but he's also ordained clergy. He's kind of like that bridge, right, between the laity and the clergy.
Yeah, it really is. And I think that can be very appealing to individuals too, to be able to say, well, I want to meet with the deacon to talk about these things because, I know that they experienced it in their own life, and that's just a really beautiful witness, I think, as well. So true.
And I know even in my own formation with the class, over the years, right, as we do this formation together with the other candidates and their wives, I just think it's so beautiful how God brings out these individual charisms and uniqueness and strengths of each of my brothers and sisters. It's just so amazing to see how God works.
Absolutely. And that too as well, you know, the beauty of the marital vocation being enriched and enhanced through that whole process as well. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Well, this is great. Any final thoughts, Doctor?
Well, I would just encourage any listeners out there who are thinking about, who feel maybe called to the diaconate, to just explore that, right? And to be open to that and to continue to pray about that and to not be afraid, but to just remember that it's about a relationship with God and a call to serve. And so that might be one of you who are listening today.
So good. Thanks so much for your time and your prayers.
Absolutely.
Dr. James Link, we appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. Take care.
God bless you. Thanks. Coming up next on Real Presence Live, theology of the body and the culture of life, the pro-life cause. We'll talk about how the two are related with David Temesia, Executive Director of the North Dakota Catholic Conference. Keep it right here. We'll be back right after this.